You know, I'm a little nervous now. It's always good to be nervous, and I pray that tonight I'll be able to lean on the Lord, and He'll be able to open some things up to me, things that I just don't have planned, bullets that I have written down here. I wanted to wear my suit jacket tonight, but I get hot. I get hot very easily. I thought I better take it off because I'm going to get hot up here. But I thought about this suit jacket, and I went to Macy's. It was a couple months ago now, because I needed to get some new suit jackets, and the reason was is because we were coming here for Brother Bill Sheldon's funeral, and I needed some new suit jackets. And that jacket right there, I have that because I purchased it for that funeral, and I was very thankful for my brother Bill. And I remember visiting with him down the visitor center, and Brother Roland, and coming up here for the first time, I asked him to show me around, and we walked around up here, and I kind of looked around, and you know, I never would have thought that the Lord would have done what He did in my life, and you know, I'm non-deserving to be up here, but the Lord's blessed me, He's blessed my family, and I hope that He continues to bless you, because I know He is. I'm also thankful for today. I felt peace today. I felt the Spirit today. I think the Lord's been with us. I'm very thankful for that, and I think we owe all of that to Him. I think He's heard our prayers, and He's been pleased with some of the things, some of the decisions that have been made. You know, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know everything, but I just have appreciated today, and I think it's, in general, it's been a good day. I have that feeling. I don't know how long this is going to take. I've kind of been timing the other sermons, and Brother Brian's sermon was about 1.5 hours. I timed it. So I'm hoping that I can keep it under that. I think I can. But be patient with me as I go through this. I have a lot of material, but there's some good information in here. I have 3 dreams I'm going to share with you. I don't think many of you have read them before, heard about them before. I'm going to share those with you tonight. Just a summary of what has been shared with us at some of the other evenings this week. Brother Jay talked about looking at the compass of your character. Brother Brian, how to make ourselves ready. And Brother Rick, tithing and good stewards. And as always, I'm thankful when you can see a connection between the different sermons, and I definitely saw that, and I see that with mine tonight. And it's actually very close to Brother Brian's. And what I'm going to talk about one shot that we have to do various things, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But my sermon, I have an introduction, and we're going to have one dream. Then I'm going to talk about all these things we have one shot at, and then I'm going to have... there's something that the Lord placed on my heart. It didn't come from our church. It came from another church. And I'm going to have a disclaimer along with it. But I wanted to share that with you. And then I've got 2 more dreams that I want to share with you. So just please be patient as I get through all of this. And I didn't really change a lot of my slides based on what I heard. I did take some additional notes, but I hardly changed anything. I added a dream that Brother Adam Porter had just a couple nights ago that I thought was applicable to this. There was a verse that Brother Brian used in his sermon time after time about being ready in the book of Revelation, and he used 3 verses from that passage. I used 2. I added the 3rd ones just so that they would be in harmony with one another. But again, I have a lot of material here. I have a lot of different thoughts, and I think it's hardest to speak after a week of conference. You know, when I kind of take notes of what's happened, and I want to be aware. You never know how the week's going to turn out. You don't know what's going to happen, what's going to come to fruition. So again, I was thankful for that day we had today. I'm excited about this message that the Lord's given us, but I'm also a little bit sad, because I think we have a lot of things to work on. And I think the Lord made it clear to me what all those things are, and to some of the other brothers. We've all been living this American dream for for, you know, a lot of us for our whole lives, including myself. And I've thought about that, and I've thought about some of the things that may be coming up here in the future, in the near future, I believe, and how that, you know, that American dream and those things that we put too much value in, you know, at times are going to be taken away, and how we're going to need to adjust. I think about, you know, I sit in my living room and I'll be in my lazy boy with my legs up, and oftentimes I'll tell Kelly, I'll say, well, this is the life, you know, and I'll take a, like a, an Afghan that, you know, Sister Betsy has made us Afghans, and so I cover up with those on a cold night, but, you know, it's the life, and I'll have a drink there, and I have my computer in front of me, and everything's really good, and, there, I like to listen to music, and there's a group I listen to, and they have a song, it's called Looking for America. And it's about how America has turned from God, and it's got a powerful message to it, that we're looking for this America. Where did America go? Why has America turned from its God? And it has a verse in here, it says, farewell my utopia, farewell my euphoria. Fare thee well, my suburban daydream. Farewell, my utopia. And I thought about that. And, you know, we need to make sure we have a spiritual utopia, no matter what's taken away from us in this land, in our life. If we lose, you know, these blessings that the Lord has given us, if they're taken away, you know, there's still great blessing even after all of that. You know, Brother Rick talked about the other night, you know, what do you put your trust in, the riches? Are you willing to give them up? What things are you willing to give up in your life? Now, about this phrase, one shot, I see a window of time that's before us. I don't think we have a lot of time left before the Lord's going to return. I don't know when exactly that is, but... You know, a common theme through all the sermons about preparation, that's what this is going to be about. But all of life, all of your spiritual matters in your life, they're all about preparation, really, if you think about it. So we've got this window of opportunity before us. And, you know, there are occasions for repentance, for changing our ways, for making mistakes and correcting ourselves. But in general, you know, from a characteristic point of view, this period of time that you have, you know, one shot to get it right. One shot to get it right. And it's the most important moment you've ever had in life. And something that I could relate to this is our brother Joel yesterday or today, I think it was yesterday, we were talking about a matter, and he said, you know, we don't get another chance at this. You know, you don't get a mulligan like in golf, no mulligans whatsoever. And I could relate what he said to my sermon. I think one of the most common things we have is that we're all here in this period of time. In the same period of time, when you think about 6,000 years of humans' existence, you know, we've lived here on this earth, and you think, well, why did the Lord put us all here right now, all together like this? You know, everybody that's lived... And, you know, throughout all time, he's taken each one of us as souls and he's placed us here. You know, we have that in common more than anything else. All of us from different parts of the United States and the world. And we're all together in this, together into the Church of Christ. And I think that's the thing we have most in common more than anything else. And I think that we can let living in the end times be a blessing or a curse. You know, hard things may come, tribulation may come, but we can be blessed through it. And we can have two different reactions to these things. And I think it's tempting to say, it's not fair, Lord. I don't want to live now. You know, if things happen in the future, I don't know if they do, but I don't know if I want to live now. Why don't you put me back in, like, 1945? I mean, why didn't you bring my birth about 1945 into World War II, and I could have grown up in the baby boomer years and had it all good? You know, but there's always been problems, really, if you think about it. You look back in time, there's always been problems. But I think that, you know, the Lord gives us all equal opportunity. He's not a respecter of persons. All of us living now, he knows we can triumph, just like the people in 1950s could triumph back then. The Lord doesn't say, no, you know, good luck, I'm going to put you here in this period of time. You know, they had it better back then, but I'm going to put you here in this period of time, and you're just going to have to figure it all out. It's going to be a little more difficult for you, but so I think that's just something to think about, and we need to make sure we're positive about this. And that's my introduction. I'll continue now with the first dream that I have. And this dream, this was from my daughter, Lydia, and she had this in February of this year, and I've been given three dreams now between February and just a couple days ago, and I feel that this is what the Lord wanted me to talk about tonight. It's a big portion of my message, and this is what Lydia had in this dream. It says, "I was upstairs in my room in the middle of the day. It was sunny outside. I heard trumpet sounds coming from outside, so I decided to go out. I walked down the stairs through the living room, the kitchen, and out the garage door. After I was outside, I saw people, which included some of our neighbors, my mom, and one of my sisters. The trumpets were still playing. I looked up in the sky, and I saw Jesus with two angels, one at his left side and one at his right side. He then came down and floated slightly above our cul-de-sac. I realized I didn't have my Bible and Book of Mormon and went back inside to get them. I went back upstairs to my room. My dad was there. I was really excited and told my dad that Jesus is coming back. My dad said, yes, he is coming back. After grabbing my scripture, I woke up from my dream. Many weeks after my dream, my dad asked me what direction Jesus appeared in the sky in my dream, and I showed him it was in the east. So, you know, after she explained this dream to me, I thought about asking her that question. I didn't give her any hints where the east was or anything. I said, where was he? And she kind of told me it was over here in between these two houses, explained it to me, and it was in the east. It wasn't due east. It was about 10 degrees off from due east or so, but it was in the east, which, you know, makes perfect sense with what we know. You know, I totally believe this is from the Lord, and I think you do too. And the fact that the Lord gave this dream to my daughter says a lot. That I could bring this here on this day and I could share it with you, that the Lord is coming back soon. And I thought about the other vision or dream that someone had. It was in the Zion's Advocate not too long ago, about Jesus coming in the clouds. I think there was purple or such and such. It was in the last year or two. This goes right along with that. We've been talking, I've heard things about trumpets lately. We talked about trumpets a little bit at our Tuesday night study. I think it was last week or the week before. I think a brother, it might have been Brother Roland, talked about Joel chapter 2 and about trumpets and about the watchmen. I think the Lord, you know, he's coming back sooner than what we think. And these trumpets are blowing. There are trumpets that are being heard. You know, we've done studies on this as well. Trumpets that are being heard, you know, Ukraine and such areas. People hear trumpets coming from the sky. They don't know where they're coming from. Audible sounds. And I really think that the Lord is telling us his return is going to be soon. So between now and when the Lord returns, we have one shot to prepare ourselves. Let's get it right. I've got some phrases. Take every chance you get in life, because some things only happen once. In the end, we only regret the chances we didn't take. This, I thought about this, and I don't know, it was shortly after my wife and I got married. We were good friends with a couple in the church that we had gone to. He was associate pastor, and you know, he was a good man. And I remember he telling me one time, you know, we asked him, I don't remember exactly what we asked him about, but he said, you know, I hope when I'm done with life, I hope I have no regrets. And that's always stuck with me when he said that. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. And we need to make sure that we don't have regrets in life. Life is short. Do stuff that matters. Life is short. Drink more coffee. And we were just talking about coffee the other night over at Buzz and Sue's house, and I don't like coffee. I've never been a coffee drinker. I have a very hard time getting up in the morning, but I don't like coffee. But You know, what if the Lord told you, you better drink more coffee, better go to Starbucks, you know, as much as you can before the Lord returns. You know, of course you want to say something like that, but you don't want to look back and know you could have done better. One life, one chance, make it count. You only get one chance at life, decide wisely and eat boldly. It really says act boldly. And we were talking about food the other day when we were out driving around, and you know, we're talking about food and how much we'd love to eat, and I like to eat. I like to eat too much. I've been exercising. It's been really good for me. So act boldly. You know, are you acting boldly? Are you passionate about your faith? Are you passionate about the love that you have for the Lord? Is it just, you know, a bunch of rules and regulations? Is that, you know, you've done these things, you've been baptized into the church, you're a member of the Church of Christ, but do you have a relationship with the Lord? And is that relationship strong enough that when the Lord tells you He wants you to do something, that you're wise enough to act upon it, and you act boldly, you're passionate about it? One shot to prepare, Alma 9:40-41, and we see that death comes upon mankind, yea, the death which has been spoken of by Amulek, which is a temporal death. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto man in which he might repent. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state, which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. And we're all familiar with this passage, and you know, it's almost cliche to put something like this in here, but I thought about this, and you know, I don't know how much time we have before the Lord returns, and if it's sooner than we think, then this verse has a more important meaning to us than it has for people in the past that maybe have lived to the, you know, the average age of a man or a woman. And I thought about, you know, what if I were born at this period of time, and I think about the mistakes I made in my teenage years and how I wasn't prepared to meet my Lord, and I thought, yeah, if that would happen, I wouldn't have time left to really prepare if I were to stray from the Lord. As much time as I have had in my life to live to be as old as I am, to be able to make corrections in my late teenage years. So I think this verse is very critical. Alma 16:27. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And I thought about a brother's message. I think it was last year's conference, maybe. And he titled it, Don't Lose Your Salvation. Don't Lose Your Salvation. You're making decisions right now about what's going to happen to you. It's not later you're going to make decisions. You're making decisions right now. Now is a day of your repentance. Now is a time for you to prepare, even this week. Decisions that have been made this week, the thoughts that you have had, the things that you have said, they all have bearing on this. Every single thing you do. I ask that you give me a little bit of latitude here. I talked to an apostle about this, and he didn't tell me one way or another if I should not include it. This is not from our church. It's not from someone in our church. It's from someone in another church. It's a church of the restoration. I just want to share something with you. You don't have to believe it, but I think you will find some wisdom in this. Someone from our church shared this with me about a month ago when I was out here. And it starts out like this: to my children that call themselves by my name, know that I have many flocks, and I will soon move in greater measure to bring my people together, that they might be strengthened to pass through these things. And I've got a note here, trials to come. But only those who now prepare will recognize when a thing is of me. I ask that you be willing to set aside all things that are not of me, and by this means I will be allowed greater place, and you will then know of a surety when a thing is of me. And I can't say with 100% certainty that this is of the Lord, but, are you willing to set aside things in your life that you need to set aside, that you need to make a greater place for the Lord? You know, are you praying all the time? Are you spending all your time with the Lord, wherever it may be, at work or wherever? You know, are you ready? If this is true, we need to act on this as people. I give you this counsel and great mercy, for I have already been calling upon you to better prepare. Yet few have started in their preparation, and only those who do prepare will I be able to use to accomplish this great work of bringing those who are willing together. I ask that you do not delay any longer, for few there would be who are ready if I were to open this door now. Let your hearts open to receive me, and let nothing take precedence over spending time daily with me in communion, study, and prayer. For great is my desire to know you more intimately as you grow to know me and my will. For this knowing comes from intimate fellowship as a man and a woman who are married grow to know each other. And this is what you're called to be part of, my bride, espoused through holy covenant, set apart to be a holy, peculiar people, fully dedicated to me. So hear me, my people, and come unto me in greater preparation, that we might share in this time of great joy that will soon come upon my people, as some receive me in greater measure through authoritative covenant, and others share in my joy through our joint labor. Ask that you carefully consider my counsel, for I do not give it lightly. Thus saith your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even so, amen. So when I heard this, when this was presented to me, I went back and forth about sharing this with you. You know, I still have mixed feelings about it, but I thought I had to share it with you. I had to let you know what was on my heart, what the Lord put upon my heart. Because I I'm a watchman, you know, like you are. We're watching, looking for the signs. And if I hear the trumpets, you know, I need to say something. For the Lord to know us and for us to know the Lord. And I had a discussion about this with the brother that I talked to about this potential revelation and this knowing that it talks about knowing the Lord. And I looked at the definition of it, and it says, be aware of through observation, inquiry, or information. That's the first definition. And the Lord knows everything about us. You know, there's nothing our God doesn't know about us. But then there's a second definition here. Have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. And this is what I believe how the Lord wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us. It's like it talks about in the book of Revelation. You know, he's knocking on the door. He wants to come in and dine with you. You know, you need to let him in. And you need to have that meal with him and talk to him. So he can know you in that more intimate way, if you want to think about that way. Like it said, you know, a husband and a bride know each other. Matthew 7:21-23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And we use this verse for various things, you know, people maybe outside of our church that are prophesying, you know, or casting out devils or whatever it may be. But you know, when I thought about this, I thought about this passage, and, you know, I never knew you. The Lord could tell anybody he doesn't know you. It could be any of us in the Church of Christ that he doesn't know you. You know, you drifted away from the Lord after your baptism. You didn't endure to the end. And this could be the consequence. He could tell this to you that he never knew you. And I think he does know you now. But it's just a concept that this relationship with the Lord, if you're following him, he knows you and you know him. So here are my categories. In general, we have, and I'm going to have a list of categories we have, or that we have one shot to prepare for, or one chance to do. In the grand scheme of things, in the time between now and when the Lord returns, you have this window of time, and I have this list. It's somewhat similar to the list that Brother Brian had the other night. So let's go ahead and go through this. And again, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have up and down, you know, periods in your life. I have them all the time. Doesn't mean you can't correct your ways if, you know, say a year from now you drift away from the Lord and you get back on track. But in general, you have this opportunity of time before you. And I hope at the very end of that window of time, you're where you need to be. One shot to develop an intimate relationship with the Lord. And I've already talked about that to a degree. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I thought about this passage a couple months ago. I used it in another sermon. But, you know, are we in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Are we in the Spirit every day of the week when we're at work? You know, I have felt the Lord's Spirit here this week among us. I felt the Spirit when I was putting this together, the sermon together. It's been a good Spirit, I believe. And just as John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we need to do the same, you know. All day, all the time, you need to have that relationship all the time with the Lord. You know, that Spirit that you feel, that fills your soul, testifying to you that you're doing what's right, what the Lord wants you to do. You know, that's a great message that comes from that. You can take away from that. There was something that was said the other night about not grieving the Spirit. And when that was mentioned the other night, I thought about something that happened to the ministers' conference a year or two ago, and we were in a heated discussion talking about something. And when it was over with, and we kind of continued on, one of our brothers said something to us. He said, you know, I heard the Spirit weeping. I heard something that, to me, I think it was a Spirit weeping. You know, this is grieving the Spirit. It's true. It happens. It happened in our case on that day. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, what, you know, this doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol. You know, what do you fill your life with? What do you consume on a daily basis? Are you consuming things that aren't good for you? It's taken over your whole life. That's all you do. You watch, you know, things on the TV that aren't right, or you do this or you do that. Are you taking time to be with the Lord, to always have that relationship with Him? One shot to remove things from our lives that are a hindrance or distraction to our walk with the Lord. Again, this has been talked about to a degree. It's an important time, this moment that we have. It's important. It's the most important moment you've had in your life. And you need to be ready for it. You need to be ready. Luke 21:34-36, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Again, it's another verse that we use all the time. But it is going to come like a snare on people that aren't prepared. I was having a discussion with a couple, particularly the man of the couple that we're friends with, and back at home. And I told him about some of the dreams I'm sharing with you tonight, about Lydia's dream, about my wife's dream I'm going to share with you. And he didn't really say anything. And they know what we believe, but he wasn't. I didn't get to feel that he was interested at all whatsoever, or if he even believed it at all. And I thought at that time that surely there are people that are not prepared whatsoever. You know, he's a Christian man, but yet a lot of people aren't ready. They're not ready. I've got a couple other things I want to talk about this passage right here. I was talking to a brother today about Brother Merlin, about that vision or dream that he had about the luggage in the ice. You know, what is your luggage that you're carrying around? What are you going to get rid of? That goes right along with this. Something else about this passage there in verse 36. It says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." And one of our brothers made the comment the other night that when he read the passage this time, the verse he used, those words that were used in that passage popped out, and they had a new meaning because of the urgency of this time. And this "pray always," we read this all the time, but it literally says "pray always," pray all the time. If you want to escape, be accounted worthy to escape, you need to be praying all the time. You know, after we leave here tonight, don't forget this. Don't forget this in the years to come. This is important to remember. One shot to hear the Lord, and this really was a result of some of the things that happened last year that the Lord put this upon my heart, and you know, it's always applicable. It's where I think we struggle the most, to be able to hear the Lord and know if something's of the Lord and something that's not. I didn't know if I want to discuss this tonight, and I'm just going to be very brief about this. But the other day, Sunday morning, you know, there were some callings given, and I was a part of that. I participated in that to a degree, and I thought about that after that happened, and it was somewhat awkward after that with certain people after it happened that day, and. The Lord taught me a lesson in this. You know, it was awkward, like I said, with some people, but for other people, you know, they had a loving attitude. You know, the next day it was like it never happened. No matter what you thought of it, no matter what I thought about it, whether it was wrong or right, I was able to interact with people. It was like there's no disagreement at all about it. And it's almost like it happened, you know, for a reason, because, you know, I grew from this, that it's hard when something like that happens, or when you disagree with a brother or sister about something, you know, the wall can start to go up between you and them, but you got to make sure you shut it down and you get rid of that wall and you listen to your brother or your sister and you don't let that wall build up until you cannot converse with them at all, and you're not willing to converse with them at all about it. And that's the danger we find ourselves in. And when God gives us revelation in our day, it can be a blessing if we listen. It can be a curse if we don't listen. It can be a curse if we accept that it's not from the Lord. You know, what are we accepting that's not from the Lord? What are we accepting that is from the Lord? What are we rejecting that is from the Lord? What are we rejecting that's not from the Lord? I had a conversation about this with someone that I know, and we were talking about, I was talking about our church and about the gift of revelation, and you know, we don't believe that the canon is complete. The Lord can speak whenever He wants to. And so he says, "Well, don't you worry about that. You know, how do you know? It could create a mess." And it can. If we're not right with the Lord, we don't listen to the Lord, and we're not prepared as people, we could make it a stumbling block to ourselves. So we have this one shot to hear the Lord. You know, when something is given that's in conflict with my beliefs, do I step back and reconsider my beliefs? Are my beliefs based on what someone else thinks? You know, we're all out here making votes, talking, raising our hands. But the people you know, when you see them vote in the way they do, or you talk to them about something, do they influence your beliefs in a negative manner? Or do you consider yourselves, when you're out there raising your hand, do you consider yourselves sitting right next to the Lord? Like the Lord's sitting right next there, right next to you, and He's saying, you better be careful about what you do, what you vote on, you know, your opinion on this matter, because that's what it comes down to. You know, it comes down to that. It's just you and the Lord on the last day. it doesn't matter what, you know, the other people are doing. It's just you and the Lord, and you need to put yourself in a bubble, and you need to get rid of all that clutter, and you just need to just really think about it carefully. I just think that there's just some important lessons, important things that we need to think about, we need to remind ourselves of. You know, are my beliefs biased because I have a close relationship with the person, or are they in my family? I'm sharing my daughter's dream, I'm sharing my wife's dream, I'm sharing Brother Adam's dream tonight. I believe them all, but is it because, you know, they're my wife and my daughter and my brother Adam, or is it because, you know, they're really from the Lord? That's something I think we need to think about. You know, are my beliefs biased because of a preconceived opinion of the person it came through? You know, with what happened with me on Sunday, did that change your opinion of me? Can you ever say that I'm not going to label him? I'm not going to label this person permanently. I know he can change. I know the Lord can work with him. We need to be careful about that. I think it's interesting, ministers' conference, I was sitting next to Brother Roland today, but a lot of times I notice that the ministers will sit kind of scattered around the church, kind of, you know, one will have their own pew, then another one will have a pew, and I wonder about that, and, you know, maybe because we're trying to tune out other people, you know, we want to kind of separate ourselves and be by ourselves with the Lord, and I think that's good if that's what it is, but I don't know. But I thought about that. I thought about maybe we should vote in booze, you know, special booze, or, you know, by secret ballot, you know, but we're not supposed to have secret combinations. So it's just some thoughts that I had. But you are making choices right now, right this week. Third Nephi 7, 13 to 22. I'm going to open to this. Page 644, and it says, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he said unto those 12 whom he had chosen, Ye are my disciples, and ye are light unto this people, which are a remnant of the house of Joseph. And behold, this is the land of your inheritance, and the Father hath given it unto you. And not at any time hath the Father given me commandment that I should tell it unto your brethren at Jerusalem, neither at any time hath the Father given me commandment that I should tell unto them concerning the other tribes of the house of Israel, which the Father hath led away out of the land. This much did the Father command me, that I should tell unto them, that other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And now because of stiff-neckedness and unbelief, they understood not my word. Therefore I was commanded to say no more of the Father concerning this thing unto them. But verily I say unto you, that the Father hath commanded me, and I tell it unto you, that you were separated from among them because of your iniquity. Therefore it's because of their iniquity that they know not of you. And verily I say unto you again, that the other tribes hath the Father separated from them. It's because of their iniquity that they know not of them. And verily I say unto you, that ye are of they which I said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And they understood me not, for they supposed it had been the Gentiles, for they understood not that the Gentiles should be converted through their preaching. And they understood me not that I said, they shall hear my voice, and they understood me not that the Gentiles should not at any time hear my voice, that I should not manifest myself unto them, save it were by the Holy Ghost. And you know, this is another great passage. There's a lot of things we can learn from this, you know, with regards to what's in the Bible, what it says about this, and then being able to understand that right here in this passage. We use this all the time. But, you know, that verse 17, and now because of stiff-neckedness and unbelief, they understood not my word. Therefore, I was commanded to say no more of the Father concerning this thing to them. And this passage, it had new meaning for this message. If we don't listen to the Lord, if we don't hear the Lord, you know, this could happen. He's commanded to say no more of the Father concerning this thing unto them. to decide he doesn't want to give us anymore. It's just like what happened with the Jews in this passage here. Isaiah 6. There's a passage in Scripture, and it talks about those who are in unbelief. And if we don't have open minds, the Lord could take away what we have, what He's given us. It could be taken away till we have nothing left. Okay, I'm going to read through this real quick. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the hearts of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. You know, what are we hearing? What are we hearing that people bring to us? What are we, that may come from the Lord? What are we seeing, written down that's brought to us at conference or a revelation or whatever it is? We look at that. We look at it, but do we understand what it is? Do we open our hearts to receive that if it's from the Lord? If not, we fall into this trap here. In 11 it says, Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak. I'm not going to read all that. But it says, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. These are serious consequences. Utterly desolate. Things that were brought about because the people didn't want to hear anymore what the Lord had to say to them. I've got one more passage about this topic, 3 Nephi 9, 98-106. And I could have made my entire sermon about this. Uh, 663, it says, Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, which am Jesus Christ, which the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give it unto him power, that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, shall be done even as Moses said, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the covenant. My people, which are remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hands shall be lifted upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. I don't want to read all this. But we talk about the unbelief of the Gentiles. Not accepting the Book of Mormon, not accepting the fullness of the gospel. And there's consequences for that it talks about here in this passage here. But, do we ever think about ourselves that we might not be believing in the words of Jesus Christ that it talks about here? Do we ever think about this with regards to us I think there's a lesson here, something that we can learn from. In general, we have one shot to remove sin from our lives. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What sin do you have in your life? What do you know about yourself that I don't know? What do you know that we don't know about you? What do I know about my sins that you don't know about? You know, it talks about every secret thing. You know, the Lord's going to judge us because of that. So we need to think about that. Are we going to make any corrections, or are we just going to go on the way we have? And let these hidden things continue on, remain hidden, and continue to do them? Or are we going to be proactive and make a choice in understanding the warning of the Lord and make these changes before it's too late? In general, we have one shot to trust the Lord, even if it involves uncertainty or perceived risks. First Nephi 1:65, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. You know, a great lesson. You know, this is plain, it's clear. The Lord gives us a commandment. If we listen, if we accept it, he will make it happen. Isaiah 42:16, and I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. You know, the Lord's not going to leave us on our own. This is one of my favorite passages in the Scripture, and it's directly applicable to this subject. Generally, we have one shot to be careful with what we say about others. Again, you're going to have up and downs. You can repent of these things, but I believe there's a window of time for you. And you, what's that going to be characterized by? You know, what are we saying on the conference floor? What do we say during a sacrament service? What do we say at a minister's conference? We have to be really careful. We have to think before we speak, that I don't always do. Think very carefully about the words you speak, how they come out, and how it's going to affect others when they hear those words. Matthew 12, 36-37, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I've thought about people I know, people that aren't members of the Church of Christ. If I were to bring them in to our ministers' conference or to our general conference, what would they think? You know, would I be embarrassed about it, or would I be able to say to them, "See, the Lord has blessed us. We're a pure people. We're the righteous people, because the Lord has done good things for us, and we've listened to Him." You know, we need to have unity. I hear things about people sometimes. You know, we can talk about one another. I bet there's a handful of people out there tonight in the crowd that I've heard somebody say something about you, and you maybe had no idea about it. You know, maybe they've never even spoken to you about it. I bet you know things that have been spoken about me. You know, if you participate in this and gossip things that aren't true, with someone, I use this, I say this all the time, they might be gossiping about you when you're not with them. But, we need to be careful that we don't get angry when we're in conference, A one shot to attend church regularly. And I don't have any verses to go along with this, but I thought about the Phoenix Local and also the Temple Live, but you can get online and you can watch the streaming. You can watch the morning service, and then in the afternoon they have a song service before their evening service. And the people in Phoenix, they spend a good majority of their day in church. They do. And the Temple Lot, you guys have evening services here. I go to the morning service in Bradley. I go home. But we need to make sure we're regular church goers. It's so important for you to be able to feed off your brothers and sisters, and at this critical time in your life, that you can learn new things and you can listen to the Lord and you can be in complete fellowship with Him. In general, we have one shot to not be lost. Not be lost. And I thought about the manifestation that our brother Nathan Denham have. I saw he was here tonight. That there's going to be brothers and sisters that are lost in the church. Who's it going to be? Who's not here tonight? Are you going to be lost in the future? Is it just going to be them? 1 Nephi 2:65-67, and I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing for. Many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led into the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose the midst of darkness, yea, even exceeding great midst of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. As we have up and downs in the church, matters that we talk about, significant matters, the matters that are hard, are we going to lose grip of the rod of iron once we've commenced on it? And are we going to be lost, or are we going to continue on? Are you going to continue to be faithful, just like you're here this evening tonight? And it might be painful and hard when you see a brother or sister that decides that, they don't want to go to church at all anymore, they've had enough. But it's a fact that it's going to happen. And you'll have sorrow because of it. It'll be hard. But you need to keep yourself on the path and continue on. One shot to remain positive. I was talking to a brother about this, about some matters in the church. And it can be difficult to stay positive, but if you continue on that path, if you're producing fruit in your life, you're going to have a great reward, a great blessing, and you never lose focus of that, never forget about that. No matter what happens around you, you'll have a great blessing if you endure to the end. I was talking to a sister about this tonight. When we started coming here for conference, my family and I, I wasn't called to be a minister. I didn't have to go to the minister's conference, but we kind of came here. It was kind of like a vacation. And we got kind of, during the minister's conference, we would go and do different things around town, go to Kansas City. And I think about it now that it can be hard sometimes to come here, and there's a degree of stress involved. But we have fellowship when we're here. Think of the fellowship that we've had, one with another. There's a blessing of being here. And we need to always remember that. No matter what happens, we need to stay positive about it. One shot to not be negligent. Let's talk about this. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-13. This is a verse that we hear a lot. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be watching right now, watching all the time, because the world's not ready. Verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And this verse, "not appointed to wrath," it's what a lot of Protestants use to support the premillennial rapture. You know, they say we're not going to be here for any tribulation whatsoever, because God's not going to let us suffer in this way. But that's not what this says. The Lord can bless you. He can provide for your salvation, spiritual more so than anything else. It doesn't mean because the world suffers that you have to suffer in the same way they do. Verse 10, "who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And we're doing that this week. We're doing that right now. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." You know, the ministry that labors among you, that labors among me, that helps me out, called of God. Be careful what we say about them. You really need to think about that. We need to be at peace among ourselves. Now, if we want to be prepared, we need to be at peace. I was going to tell a story. I'll just tell it real quick. Last year, we came to the conference and we left, and we wanted to go up to Chicago to see some of the museums and stuff, and I thought on the way up we would go through Nauvoo. I've never been there before, and I thought, well, it'd be an interesting trip. So we went there, we spent a day there, and we went back to our hotel that night, and I've already told the story to the people in Bradley. We went back to our hotel that night, and the girls swam for a little bit in the hotel pool. And we went to bed, and I woke up in the morning, and I started getting things together. I was going to pack the car, and I was trying to find my keys, my car keys. I didn't know where they were, and I thought, oh, they're in my coat. I left them in my coat, and where's my coat? Where's my coat? I can't find my coat. And I realized I left my coat down at the hotel pool the night before. So I went downstairs, and I went into the pool area, and my coat wasn't there. And I went out to the front desk, and I told them, "Did somebody find my coat in the pool area?" And they said, "No, nobody found your coat." And I thought, oh no. I went back up to our hotel room, I looked around, and then I looked out the window around the corner, we were upstairs, where our car was supposed to be parked, and our car wasn't there. It was gone. And that was hard. Out of town, our car had a lot of our stuff in there. Thankfully, not all of it, but it had been stolen that night, and we ended up seeing it on the security cameras they had at the hotel. Saw people get into it. You couldn't see their faces or anything. But they took our car. And we were very upset about it. We didn't know what we were going to do. So a police officer came and he spoke to us. And about an hour and a half later, they were out looking for the car. And he came back and he said, "We found your car."
And I couldn't believe it. He found my car, and he took me over to a window. We were in the lobby of the hotel. He took me over to a window. He opened up the blinds, and he said, "There's your car." And it was about a block away in a parking lot, and the trunk was open. So he drove me over there to get it, and the car, nothing had happened to the car, it appeared. You know, they didn't damage the car, but everything that was in it was ransacked. It was a mess. And we had some of the girls, they had their Kindle Fires in there, and their Nintendos, and they got my bag that had my Bible, my Book of Mormon in it, and everything else that was in it, and it had a priesthood directory in it too, and I'm sorry about that. So we got home, and I rekeyed all my locks on my doors. You never know, but this is out in Iowa. You know, we're up in northern Indiana, and but I wasn't ready for that. You know, it was a thief in the night, and I made a whole sermon about it like a couple weeks after. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared. If I was prepared, I would have probably, I don't know what I would have done. I would have had the police officers there ready to bag them when they went to go get into my car. But it's an interesting experience. In general, we have one shot to seek the Lord. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. A brother talked about this years ago at conference. This was a central part of his message. Seek the Lord while he can be found right now. Now, this is another one of those verses that just pops out at me right now. You know, this time of preparation, seek the Lord, do it right now. And it has real meaning. It has real meaning. It's more powerful than whatever has been before. It's directly applicable. It always has been applicable, but more so now than ever before. 2 Chronicles 15. Please be patient with me. I'm going to turn to this real quick. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they had bought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting with trumpets and cornets. And this is in the Old Testament, but if they didn't seek the Lord, they were going to be put to death. And, you know, it's related to us. Now at this time period, if we don't seek the Lord, there's going to be spiritual death, spiritual consequences. Said, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. So, this guy's mom, it was so important to this Asa that he removed her from being queen, his own mom. You know, is the Lord that important to us that we're willing to put him first, even before our own family? But the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all his days, and he brought unto the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and golden vessels, and there was no more war unto the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. He was blessed because he sought the Lord. Psalm 9:9-10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. You know, it's a promise. Do you believe the promise? If you want the Lord not to forsake you and to bless you in the trials that are to come, you need to seek him out right now at this time. Zephaniah 2:1-3, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And our brother Jay talked about meekness and humbleness the other night. That you can be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. If you want to be preserved and protected, your spiritual life needs to be in order. I just added this today. This is the second dream. This is what Brother Adam had a few nights ago. I want to read this. This is April 2nd, maybe plus or minus a day. It says, I would like to express a dream I had. I was in a place of business. I'm not sure what they produced or sold. I was given to know that it was my responsibility to be profitable to those of great authority over me. When there was an accounting, of the profit, they found that I was not as profitable as I should or had not produced. My superiors had the power and authority to take my life and had said they decided to do so. So I was waiting for my life to be taken away. It was then that I pleaded to them that I could and would endeavor to do better, to become more profitable. So I expressed my plea from the depths of my soul for the second time. I then opened my eyes to realize that the peril had ceased, at least for them. You know, this isn't just for Adam. This is for all of us. You know, the Lord gave me an opportunity to share it tonight. You know, are you profitable? Are you producing fruit for the Lord? And what's going to happen in the future? It says, at least for then, what's going to happen in the future? Are you going to continue on and produce fruit? And this is just my interpretation, just looking at this today. Some of my thoughts might not be exactly correct. After pondering the dream that seems so real, I believe the dream to be of great spiritual importance. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Our Lord is merciful, yet lays before us the importance of the work. The time is valuable, yet short. Our Father expects us to be profitable servants. I believe the Lord wanted to share this with us this evening. Got the third dream. This is what my wife had. It was February 10th or 11th, 2017. I had a dream and wondered after waking in the middle of the night whether it was a spiritual dream or not. I then fell back to sleep and had the exact same dream again. In my dream, I was driving south down a local road, O'Day, traveling to my parents' house. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining and the sky was blue. Although I never saw the vehicle I was in, I assumed I was driving. I was alone in the vehicle, but others were outside as I drove by. I didn't know any of them. As I approached a crossroad, Washington Center, I stopped and got out of my car and stood with the other people. We were all looking up to the sky when I heard a loud trumpet sound. I was looking and trying to determine where the sound was coming from. Nobody else heard it, though they were also looking in the sky. I remember feeling alone and wondered why all the other people around me didn't hear the trumpet. I continued to my parents' house. Once I was on the road, my parents live on Leesburg Road, and nearing my parents' home, I looked further down the road past where my parents live. Passing our family farm was a large ship-like structure covering both car lanes moving very slowly towards me. I was just passing the woods on the south side of the road. It was black and wooden and had swinging axes on it. Men were riding on it and also walking beside it. The men were wearing black and carrying guns. They were trying to find anyone that heard the trumpet to kill them. As I pulled into my parents' driveway, people were running to and fro trying to find a place to hide from the ship that was approaching. They were running around my parents' barn and trying to get into the doors and hide under anything they could find. I saw my mother standing on the pavement by the garage. She was calm, unlike many around her. I began telling her about the trumpet sound I heard, and she said she heard it as well. I was greatly relieved to know that I wasn't the only one to hear it. She asked me to come into the house with the others who had heard the trumpet. There was a great peace among the people inside. We all made our way into the basement and embraced in a circle with our arms around each other. My mother was beside me and our arms were linked. We had all knelt with our faces down. Each one of us had one hand over the other. We were all very calm. We at that time didn't feel as though it was the end of our life here on earth, but rather we were practicing what we were to do when Christ returned. We knew that we would be safe for some time. There was a great peace among us all, or all of us. This entire process from beginning to end, hearing the trumpet, etc., would be repeated when it's really time for us to spend eternity with God. I have some slides about this. Discussion regarding dream number 3. Not everyone heard the trumpet. You know, I believe there's some that are prepared, spiritually prepared right now, and some that aren't. You know, I think trumpets are being sounded right now. Spiritual trumpets, you know, to prepare. And this is my own interpretation of this, it might not be right. So again, please, if the Lord gives you interpretation of any of this, you know, please let us know. Joel 2:1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it's nigh at hand. I believe this passage is directly applicable to this. The trumpets are being sounded right now, and the day of the Lord cometh. Those that heard the trumpet were being hunted down. Let's talk about this for a second. Our brother Jay discussed how we would be hated by the world the other night. People would not like us for our beliefs. They'll want to take our lives. In this time of tribulation, you know, what we've talked about for years, it's all true. And we're seeing it come to pass. Everything you've believed, you know, if you believe in that tribulation, it's true. 1 Nephi 7:34-48. I am getting close to being done. We use this verse quite a bit as well, and it's such a precious verse. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men, for he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if so be that the fullness of his wrath must come and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. But there's a requirement, righteousness. We've heard about righteousness. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. And it must needs be upon the face of the earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh, if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all they which fight against Zion shall be cut off. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for his people until the fulfilling of the words of Moses, which he spake, saying, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all they which will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Are we listening to the Lord? Do we hear what he's telling us right now at this time? And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel, wherefore he shall execute judgment and righteousness, and the righteous need not fear. For it is they which shall not be confounded. Some people were panicking, others were calm and had great peace. You know, I thought about this, and it's somewhat ironic. The people that heard the trumpet were the ones that were going to be preserved. The ones that didn't hear the trumpet were the ones that were panicking and fleeing for their lives. Those that were assembled were knelt down in prayer. One other thing about this. My wife's mother, who was in this dream, she's not a member of our church. But Kelly also had a dream about her mother wanting to read the Book of Mormon, too. And I tend to think that that's connected in some way. I don't know who all the other people were in this dream that were united with one another, that were praying there. I don't know who they were, but there are people that are going to be brought into our lives that we need to reach out to and we need to help. People from other churches that are going to accept the fullness of the gospel. Other Christians, other Protestant denominations, Catholic denomination, whatever it is. You know, there was a dream a sister had last year. All these people were coming to her. She had to be ready for that and be prepared. I've been getting together with a couple guys. It's just been about once a month. And I've been playing with them. I've been playing my guitar. There's a drummer and there's a bass player. My cousin, he plays guitar. I always played guitar with him when I grew up, and I thought it would be nice to do that again. But the guy that plays bass and the guy that plays drums, they go to the non-denominational church across the road from where I live. And I've been able to talk to them about the Book of Mormon and about the Church of Christ. I've even shared some of the dreams that Lydia and Kelly had. You know, I want to be a part of helping these people. I want to learn from them. I want them to learn from me. You know, we need to be careful that we're not so guarded in our beliefs that we can't learn from other people outside of our church. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. You need to be praying all the time, constantly, all the time. Don't forget it, at work, all the time. You can be at work just by yourself, just like you're out working with some other guy doing whatever, cutting down a tree or whatever it may be. It can be just like that with the Lord. You can be working with the Lord. You can be talking to Him. Whatever you're doing, you can be having fellowship with Him all the time, constantly. Those that heard the trumpet were practicing for the return of the Lord. And I don't totally understand this, what this means. But they were getting ready. I mean, this seems the plainest explanation of this. You know, are you practicing for the return of the Lord yourself? Are you doing things that aren't healthy to your spiritual development? I thought about one time when I was a kid. I started taking guitar lessons when I was 12, and I would go with my friend for guitar lessons. We'd have them back to back. I'd have a half hour. He'd have a half hour. And one time I went to a lesson, and I wasn't ready. I didn't know my material at all. And he kicked me out. He said, "Get out of here." And I had to go. I had to leave, walk by my friend. You know, it was only like 10 minutes into the lesson. I had a practice. I wasn't ready. And I got kicked out. Definition: practice, perform, activity, an activity or exercise, a skill, repeat.